Welcome to Fast Intelligent Care, the podcast for occupational therapists who want to make a real impact. Every Tuesday, we bring you fresh ideas, clear insights, and practical solutions in assistive technology. Let's make smarter, faster, and more effective care simple. Your journey starts now. Hi, in today's episode, we'll look at the critical safety features that you don't want to overlook when you're looking at prescribing your floor hoists. Today, we're diving into a topic that's both serious and essential. The key safety features every floor hoist should have. We're focusing on safety because as much as we love clever gadgets, if they're not safe, they're just expensive furniture. So whether you're an OT, a caregiver, or someone shopping for a loved one, grab your coffee and let's talk about how to lift people safely and keep everyone in one piece. So firstly, why are safety features so critical? So let me paint a picture for you. Imagine being halfway through a lift and suddenly the hoist decides it's on strike. Not exactly a leave work early situation, right? Don't want to be leaving my client suspended in the air in a hoist. Safety features aren't just nice to haves. They are the reason we trust hoists to do the heavy lifting, literally. So without them, we're risking our client getting injuries, caregivers getting injured, and a whole lot of paperwork that nobody wants to fill out. Think of a hoist's safety features and mechanisms as the seatbelts and airbags of the lifting world. You hope you never need them, but if you do, you'll be very grateful that you have them. So let's break down your must-have safety features, because if your hoist doesn't have these, it's basically a coat rack on wheels. So first up, we have redundancy controls. Imagine your hoist handset stopped working mid-lift, and you don't have a backup control. Your client's going to be suspended in the air and stuck. We don't want that. So if something was to happen to your handset, at least you still have your redundancy controls to still be able to either continue lifting the client or put them back down. Next, we have the safety stop. Guess what? Hoist can't see. And without this feature, we can have the hoist just keep lowering if something doesn't stop it. Now imagine your hoist boom gets in contact with a shoulder or with a piece of furniture while it is lowering down. What will happen is the boom will stop moving, but it does still continue lowering. So when that obstacle or object or person is removed, that boom is going to lower all the way or fall all the way down, because the hoist would have continued to go down even with it being obstructed. Now, a safety stop is where that doesn't happen. When your boom comes into contact with something that stops it, or with an obstacle, it completely stops moving at all. It doesn't just keep lowering. This is important because when that boom falls down, it can cause injuries. It can make contact with a head, an animal, or with furniture and damage the hoist as well as any belongings or furniture in the room. Now, a way that you can test your hoist's safety stop is by standing underneath the boom and then just slightly stopping it with your shoulder. Now, it wouldn't take any force, but then stepping away from the boom and watching if it falls down or if it just stays in place. Now, ideally, we want it to stay in place. We don't want it to fall down once we're removed from its path. Our third safety feature is our emergency lowering mechanism or emergency descent. The emergency lowering or descent lever will be manual, but you can in some cases get it as a button, because if there's ever a day the hoist decides it needs a break mid-lift, let's say the battery's died, for some reason the hoist stopped working, handset stopped working, or it's malfunctioned, you need a way to get the person down safely instead of them just being suspended in the air. So this is if even my redundancy controls aren't working, I have a manual lever that I can use to bring the person back down. Aside from our built-in safety mechanisms, there are some design choices that can make a huge difference in preventing injuries as well. So this could be, for example, having a hoist with smooth edges that is great for skin protection. If you have any sharp edges on your hoist, this is going to be very risky in terms of skin tears, especially if the client accidentally comes in contact with the hoist. And this can very easily happen if you have someone with behaviors or any involuntary movement. So look for sharp edges by your mast so that once the person's lifted in the air, You'll see if there's going to be any sharp edges in contact with their back or with their head. And when you're doing a floor lift, you'll look at the chassis and see if there's any sharp edges by that base, because that's going to potentially be a sharp edge close to the person's head. And we also don't want someone's hair getting tangled or getting caught in the mechanism. So having a enclosed base or leg spread mechanism is going to be very important in those cases. Also, when you look at ease of cleaning, having a hoist that has a enclosed base or chassis is also going to be really helpful, because you can just wipe it down, spray it down with water. Whereas some have openings, some have foam that prevent kind of that spring action from the leg spread mechanism, but then that foam can absorb fluids or liquids like urine, and we can also have things like debris getting caught in there, and it can be very difficult to properly sanitize and keep it clean. And then we can also get features that make maintenance and servicing a lot easier. So think of things like service indicators. Hoist with service indicators or maintenance logs will alert you when they need a checkup, so you don't get caught off guard during a lift with a hoist that isn't working properly. So think of it like your car that needs to be serviced after its first 1,000 Ks, then after every 10,000 kilometers, to ensure that it's working in a good condition and will be safe to use. Well, this will be the same with your hoist. You might have a hoist that can count down to, let's say, 6 months, or count down to a year, to make sure that it is recalibrated, properly looked at, and then that service indicator will then be reset by the service technicians to make sure that after the next year it gets serviced again. So this just ensures that your equipment is properly maintained, working in good order, and make sure that it's safe, because hoist accidents can be fatal, so we don't want to take any chances. You can also get hoists that give you more information than just service reminders. So you can get ones that count how many lifts the hoist has done, how hard the actuator is working, and even tell you how many times your hoist has been overloaded. So it tells you how many times you've lifted something above its safe working load. And a hoist that has a safety stop as well will also pick up that it's lifting something above a safe working load and will actually not perform the full lift, and that is to protect the hoist as well as the person. So it might actually start beeping and then gives you an indication that you need to lower the client back down. Look at the smart monitor to see if it has been overloaded, and that will give you an indication that either I need to get a higher safe working load hoist, I need to possibly look at how my lift is being done. So am I lifting someone with the slings accidentally attached to the chair and lifting the chair with the client, or am I lifting a client with a dog on their lap? Because this will definitely increase how much weight is being applied for that hoist. So it just gives you a bit of extra information that you wouldn't have had otherwise. This means that if my client's hoist all of a sudden doesn't want to do a lift and it has been overloaded 3 times in a row, at least I know that's why it's not working, and it makes it easier to do that troubleshooting and to be able to plan to get more suitable equipment for that client's needs. Another thing that's important in terms of safety is if you do have a hoist that is foldable or able to be disassembled for storage, you want to look at something that is not going to require a PhD in engineering to be able to fold away. You can get hoists that can fold down, and that can then be used like a trolley to get into a car or into a van. But you can also get ones where you can actually remove the mast, for example. But something that you do need to take into account with this is that you need to be able to very closely follow those instructions and make sure that when you are disassembling a hoist, when you're putting it back together, make sure that if there's any clips or attachments that need to fix that mast to the base, that that's done very securely and correctly, because if not, that mast is going to fall to the ground and possibly injure a person or even a pet. And we don't want that. And trust me, I've seen it, it can happen. So let's do a quick recap of our safety features. We have redundancy controls, where we can still operate the hoist without a handset. Then we have our emergency descent or lowering mechanism, where we can lower the person down
if our handset is not working and our redundancy controls aren't working either. And then we have our safety stop, which is where our hoist will stop lowering if it encounters an obstruction and it doesn't fall down once that obstruction is removed. Then we look at smooth edges by the mast as well as our base or chassis. We also look at how easy is it to clean our base or chassis, and do we have an enclosed base or a base that's open, or mechanisms like our leg spread mechanism that's exposed that can potentially have hair or clothing caught in it. We have our service reminders that will tell us when we need to have our hoist recalibrated and looked at to make sure it's in a good working order. We also have our overload detection, which will tell us how many times our hoist has lifted something above its safe working load, which will tell us if we're doing the hoist incorrectly, and will also tell us if we need to look at a higher safe working load hoist. And it will also stop lifting to prevent the hoist from getting damaged from being overloaded. And then lastly, we look at easy to follow instructions on how to fold or disassemble a compact, foldable, transportable hoist and make sure that loose parts aren't going to be a hazard. If your hoist doesn't check these boxes, it might be time to rethink your equipment or to look at how you can make sure that your hoist is operated safely and correctly. We'd love to hear from you in the comments. Have you come across any of these safety mechanisms, and are there any more that you can think of that we haven't mentioned? In our next episode, we'll look at different hoist attachment types and in which cases you would use them. Thanks for joining us on Fast Intelligent Care. We hope you're living with fresh insights and tools to make a real impact as an occupational therapist. If you've got questions or topics you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe and join us every Tuesday for more ideas and strategies to deliver smarter, faster, and better care. Until next time, keep making a difference.